Welcome to Project Fun Time. On today's episode, we have a third-year med student, disciplined freak, and great person to go to for health advice, Beaudry Jensen. Now, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about what it's like being in med school and how to prep your mind for a hard test. And should we be getting our health advice from someone with a blue check mark next to their name selling us fit tea? I don't know. So, introducing Beaudry Jensen. So, if you're on Instagram and someone says, hey, check out this new slim fit tea,
how do you... detox tea?
Yeah, yeah. So, how do you research it? Do you say, hey, this Instagram account's verified, so it has to be true? Or...
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Research is available to everybody. It's pretty easy, right? Just go on like a PubMed or one of these research banks. PubMed's the easiest one. That's a really big one. And you can even put in like the name of the product. So it wouldn't be detox tea, but whatever the tea's brand is whatever the tea compound, I guess, is. Because they'll probably put the compound on it. I don't know what it is, but the compound. Okay. You could put that into like a PubMed, and then it would pop up, say like, okay, all these research articles have been made on this compound. And then you can kind of go through and read about it and see, like, make your own decision. Does this seem like something that's actually works? And research articles, like, you can go through, and for the most part, you can just start out reading like the discussion at the bottom, because that'll kind of tell you what they summed up in their research article. You don't have to break down all the methods and everything and like really try to deep dive into it, because half the time they'll just tell you like, hey, this showed significant promise, or this showed nothing, and it's pretty easy for you to determine.
Yeah, my main source for a while was just going to Kylie Jenner's Instagram and just seeing what she uses.
Oh, yeah, she's the queen of science.
Kind of the all-natural type way is what I like to go for, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, the social media is okay, but everyone who has a six-pack and is fit and is young can peddle something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think that's kind of where people get caught up.
Do you see advice that just gets circled around that's just terrible advice that you're like, no, just stop right now?
I wrote down a couple here, because I thought it was like, so like one that I always, from the beginning, made me laugh is paleo.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing behind it, right? So what is the reason for paleo? So we can eat like we did 10,000 years ago when we lived till we were like 25. You know? So like that, I just never understood like why someone's like, we should eat like paleo. Yeah, exactly. You're jacked, and you're like, okay, but not because you're eating like a paleo. Detoxes are awesome. Keto, that one's interesting to me.
Yeah, I remember asking you about it, and I was just like, because I kept going back and forth on that. I was like, wait, is this true? Is this, you know, because I like Tim Ferriss. I like his books, but he pushes keto like crazy. And I'm listening to this interview on this guy, and he's just saying all these benefits of it and just saying how crazy good it is. But turns out he has a product that he sells. So I was like, okay.
One of the things, yeah.
If it comes with the product, it seems like it might be...
you read my paper. I said, star, if there's a product to be had, be skeptical.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to make money on it, it's not for your good, it's for their good. And that just like the simplest way to just be healthy is to have a balanced diet, try a lot of different things, eat under your calorie limit or eat at your calorie limit, and exercise. Because people think that like, you know, 2,000 calories a day or whatever is not that much. It's a pretty good amount of food. And everyone's different, right? Like, you probably have a higher than 2,000 calorie limit a day. Just because they say 2,000 on the Kellogg's box doesn't mean that's your intake. And you can find that out pretty easy on baseline guessing and stuff. But yeah, just be skeptical. Nutrition is full of a lot of shady stuff. Honestly, anyone can peddle their wares in the nutrition market, you know?
Yeah.
And then it
paves
the way. If something's been around for 20 years, it means it's probably pretty good. But we'll forget all of these diets in about 5 years. No one's going to remember keto. No one's going to remember paleo, because they're all just going to be gone, and they're going to be things of the past.
New business is going to be formed, and you're going to say something else.
Maybe the green tea diet, or I don't know, but it'll be something like that. It'll be around, and people will still buy it because they want the quick fix.
So what do you you know, I've been wondering about this too, is what how different is it from going from, you know, university to med school? Like, what's the difference for you?
Oh man, pretty much everything. med school is kind of like a job, and college is more of like an experience, I think.
Whoa, okay.
Because like for me, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, college was learning who I was, because I wasn't very self-aware. You know, coming out of high school, I didn't really know what I was going to be, who I was. That was a big thing. I met new people, I learned new things about other people and myself. And you know, you go to your parties and you know, you kind of just like socialize, and then you learn to get to the next step at the same time. Med school is like you're coming here, you know, you're working from 5 in the morning till 8 at night every single day, and then
Wow.
you're going to sleep, you know, and it's to you're learning as much as you physically can in 4 years, and then moving on to the next step. So it's kind of just it's a little different. Med school's full with a lot of different people, you know, they're all very, very intelligent people that are all working their butt off. And college, you got to spread, right? There's very
Not
intelligent
just
people that are
those
working their butt off.
communication majors. No, I'm
Yeah.
just kidding, just
Yeah.
kidding.
There's smart people doing other things that aren't sitting in the library all day,
Yeah.
you know, that are ready, getting ready to like have life experiences that I probably will never have because I went to med school, you know. So it's just different. Yeah, it's I would say it's a lot more like a job, and college is a lot more fun.
It's definitely a lot more stressful and more work for sure, but do you feel a lot more interested, I guess, in it since it's just this kind of real world thing? You're like, okay, now I see what I'm what's being
Yeah.
applied.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I there was days where you're just like miserable, but even while you're miserable, it's because you're studying for so long. It's not because you don't enjoy what you're doing. You're just tired or you know, just
Yeah,
maxed
get
out.
pretty
But yeah, no,
exhausted.
it's so much better because I mean everything we learn is applicable. There's no matter what class I was in, I learned something that I didn't know before and was a fact of medicine or you know, something like that. It's been awesome.
So what got you into it? Because you have to have a pretty strong reason to make it through all that besides just I want to help people. Because I hear that. That's what
That's the
everyone
number
says
one.
about everything. I want to help people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of reasons. So I was always just interested in science. That was a basic, you know, like growing up, middle school, all that stuff. I just like science. So I was like, well, I'm doing something in science. I had a couple different runoffs with cancer. My mom had cancer. She survived it. My grandma had cancer. She survived it, which got me involved with like physicians that I'd never worked with or anything before. And then just kind of seeing that and seeing like the what they played in, I guess, like their lives. That was awesome. And just the fact that like they get to do something that's different every single day. No physician is the same, no patient's the same, no disease process is quite the same. You're always learning. I love that. You know, it's kind of like what you're doing. You're doing new
Yeah.
things all the time and constantly learning, and it's just part of the fun. And I just like to learn in science, and you like to learn in I was just saying it's like you like learning in life experiences and social things and doing different stuff in that way. I like learning in the sciences and learning something new every day and doing something different. And there wasn't a field where I could help people, which is true. Like it's cliche, but it is true. It's obviously kind of partially why we do it. If you didn't
Yeah.
like people, you wouldn't go into medicine for the most part. I get to help people. I get to learn something new every day. I get to learn something as it's changing and doing new things. I get to work with my hands. I get to, you know, there's so many things that go into medicine. I can change people's lives. I can be part of people's lives for a long period of time that, you know, wouldn't be in any other way. And
Yeah.
there's just the trust, and people trust their physician for the most part. If they like them, they can love them forever. They're just a trusted and like respected part of the community, which I also like.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Really in depth. I just knew there was something there more than just I want to help people, you know.
The easiest thing is help people, though.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
So with New Year's resolutions coming up, I feel like one thing that to get into med school, you have to be really disciplined, you know.
Yeah.
And everyone, I think, at the beginning of New Year's is really motivated to start, you know, their journey of changing their life. But I think when that motivation goes away, that's really when discipline kicks in, and that it kind of determines whether you make it or break it, right? So what do you do to, I guess, practice discipline, I get, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I think a lot of part of discipline has to do with if it's something you want to do or not, truly. The New Year's thing is always like go to the gym, eat better, and everyone just says that because they know they need to. But I think most of discipline comes from really wanting to do it. Because in medical school, like it's a ton of work, more than anything I've ever really done, and you really have to want it to keep going forward. It's not fun to study for 14 hours a day at times.
Whoa, yeah.
So you have to want it and know like down the line it's going to be worth it. And if that's not your thing, then it's just not ever going to work out no matter what you do. Med school, diet, trying to make money to go on a vacation, whatever it is, it's, I think it's all about want and desire.
You're a whole different animal when it comes to that, though, because I remember when we were in school, not only were you studying really well, but you had washboard abs, dude.
Oh my, yeah, that's gone now.
I was like, how does this guy keep it up, you know? And you were dunking and everything like that. And I guess, because I think a lot of people want it, right? And that does make sense of having the desire. I think that makes it a little bit easier. But some people are like, oh, I really want to have the desire to have a six pack, or you know, but they just can't keep themselves that way. What do you tell yourself when you're feeling kind of unmotivated?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point too. And there's also personalities to it, and finding like how you like to do it. I kind of just like a was like brass tacks kind of person. I'm just like, this is where I'm gonna get, and I need to get there, which plays a role in it. But then just I think just being real, I think that's a big thing too, is when you get down, and because there's times where I was like stressed out to the max in medical school
I'm
or even in
sure.
undergrad. I was like, I don't want to go to the gym anymore. I'm freaking tired. It's like 11 p.m. And just like having that goal and saying like, you know what, there can be days where you slip up and you're still gonna make it. There's gonna be days where I didn't go to the gym, I still was fit. And there's days I didn't necessarily study as much as I wanted to, but I still did it as well as I could. I think a lot of people do that first month or whatever of working their butt off, and then they have like 2 days they don't go, and they're like, oh, I don't think I'm gonna be able to do it anymore because I lost these 2 days. I think you just have to keep going even when it's hard, and then the good days are easy. You're like, oh, I feel good today, I can do it. And then those bad days, you just be like, I gotta put in a couple hours today. Just gotta put in a couple hours today, and I'll make it.
How do you prep for studying? Do you put headphones in, music? What do you do?
Yeah. So when I first started college, I listened to just like classical music because I kind of heard that that was the best way to study. Is you want to study with things in the background but no words, just to help you memorize. Because when I have songs going on in my head, I'm like, oh, I'll sing to it. Then you're not reading the page in front of you. So I listen to classical music for the most part,
Okay,
and I'll
cool.
put on like a set of headphones or something to drown out the noise and just kind of get in that world and just focus as hard as I can.
I remember when there's been times where I was studying and then I took this class of like learning how to learn, and then I realized that I was studying wrong constantly
Entire time.
because I was just trying to cram everything. And when I kind of started learning the science behind it, I was like, wow, I've been wasting so much of my time. What do you do to study also? Do you do like flashcards? You mix it up? What do you?
Yeah, so another thing that was like shown statistically to make you study better is if you, or I guess remember better, is if you see something 7 times. It's kind of like the magic number. If you see something 7 times, if you've seen something 7 times, you're statistically higher likelihood to actually remember it.
No way.
Yeah, and so my goal, even through medical school and everything, was see things 7 times. So I would go to class. That would count as my one time seeing it. I would read my notes at least twice before taking the test, and so that was another 2 times. I would rewrite out some of the notes, especially the things that I didn't really have had a hard time remembering. So I'd be at least 4 times, and then I'd either watch the video again or maybe go through it 1 or 2 times. So then I'd be getting close to 5 or 6 times before every single test. And then sometimes you can go through it more than others, but I'm not a big flashcard person, but people love flashcards. Some kids in my class that got the highest scores on the steps and everything, they use flashcards. So I think it's more just repetition than like exactly what you use, and then just being like you said, dedicated and making sure you see it a lot and sit down and really remember it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to kind of bring it into the long-term memory, not just keep it in
Exactly.
that short term. Okay, I love that.
Especially
Yeah,
with the facts.
gonna continue, but yeah, I totally agree with that part on college. You know, I didn't actually finish college for me, but I've always been huge into science, and I kept skipping out on generals. Like, I didn't want to do generals. Like, when I was pre-med, I was doing anatomy and everything. I was doing the biology classes because I love science. And then I switched to entrepreneurship, and I was just like, oh man, I just don't think this is. I don't know. I couldn't wrap my mind around generals. I just didn't want to do it. And then I started learning to code, and it was the perfect amount of science and creativity. So I got way carried away with that, you know? And
Which isn't what I mean.
So I mean, I'm glad I found that turned out to be really kind of what I love to do. I didn't feel like I got too much out of college except for that social aspect and really kind of growing, you know, just kind of like what you were saying. I think one of my favorite things I took from it was what I learned from philosophy class, you know, and just kind of because I've never really grown up super religious, you know, so I didn't have that kind of, hey, this is the guide to life or whatever, you know. But it kind of really taught me how to think about things quite a bit different. And that's kind of what made me discover myself a little bit more and what I wanted to.
Oh yeah, I tell everybody that. I'm like, go to college to like learn who you are for the most part, because that's my biggest thing. Like first day of med school, they said we're going to teach you everything you learned in college in 2 weeks, and I was like, oh, okay.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, man, I'm pretty sure they did. I'm pretty sure I learned as much in 2 weeks in med school as I did in college, out of the books, right? But I mean, I learned a ton socially and everything about myself and everything like that in college. And you know, I would go to college every single time. I wouldn't put myself in huge amounts of debt to do it, but I would go somewhere and, you know, develop as a person for sure.
There's got to be something good too about always learning, you know, because you know, with both of our jobs, it's something you have to keep learning, you know. And so with programming, I'm learning how to do it, solve a different problem every day. You know, with med school, you're solving problems all the time. There's got to be, because you ever see old people that just stop learning, or it's just like their brains just kind of fade away, like use it or lose it type thing, you know?
But yeah, I mean, they've shown statistically that if you can, people who are more educated and are continually learning have a lower rate of Alzheimer's. So like there is stuff like that where it's if you keep using it, you're going to be better off.
Yeah, even like even with people our age almost that finish school and now they're just kind of working day to day, they just don't even seem happier, you know? They're just they're like, man, this sucks.
You're like, I'll have to go to work today and come home later and I won't have done anything different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man.
It's exciting. It keeps you going when there's something new that's going to come up to you and you don't know what it is and you got to like, I'm going to go fix it. I mean, most kids are that way, right? Like kids don't like to do nothing. Kids like to go play, make pretend, and they make up a situation and then their friends play off of it. And, you know, and they're always kind of like changing stuff. I think we're happiest when we're doing something different, doing something new every day.
Oh man, I love that. Cause I always hear have a childlike mind, but usually in kind of different aspects. And that was such a good point, is that I've never even thought about that, but so many people, they just stop doing stuff and then they're just unhappy.
Yeah, it's stagnant.
They're like, why am I unhappy? And they don't do it. That just makes it. I love that so much. It's even kind of like when people are sick and unhealthy and they're not working out and or they're not eating right and they're like, man, I just feel depressed. And I'm like, well, because you're not doing anything, you know, and you don't want to change
it. They've done some studies on like thin people have different gut bacteria than more big or obese people. They've tied that to like things like your diet and everything, and that the composition of your gut bacteria can actually influence like how much you weigh, which is something that's kind of something different, but it's also very changeable. And I think that's, I've seen some stuff go around like, well, my gut bacteria makes me big. And I'm like, it's not what the science says, but it can if you eat poorly.
I've heard of cases where, it was like a paper I read somewhere. And I don't know, you know, the full truth to it, but it was pretty much talking about that, about you could see something about the gut bacteria and how it can maybe affect weight, but about this mom who got gut bacteria from the daughter, which was overweight, and so basically they gave her a poop pill, you know?
Yeah,
And
that's what it is.
she started gaining weight kind of like her daughter, you know? And so what's kind of the truth to that? So you can change that or
Yeah, you can change that. So the reason they do it is because the bacteria get really good at digesting certain things. So when you eat a lot of fat, certain bacteria are really, really good at breaking it down and then delivering those calories to you. So it's almost like you don't miss anything. And the people who are eat poorly, eat high fat diets and things like that, their bacteria get really good at almost conserving energy for them, in so many words. And so they like don't miss out on any of it, and so they gain like all the calories that they're ingesting all the time. Or the bacteria provide nutrients to them. I haven't seen a ton of studies that have said exactly what it is, but it's something like that, where they are essentially giving them extra calories, whether it's just the breakdown or it's their nutrients. They produce something else that the body picks up. And then people who have leaner diets, things like fiber and things that are hard for everything in the world to break down for the most part. Like fiber is a very complex molecule that's hard to break down, even for bacteria. So you don't necessarily get those same things. And those bacteria aren't as good at like breaking down fats or bad foods that we ingest. So it's kind of a helpful thing when they can't do it.
That's wild. So is there are there foods or like a certain way you have to eat to get your bacteria back in check, I guess, some like cabbage or something?
No, I don't think there's any like golden bullet, anything like that. That's going to be like, hey, like if you eat this thing, it's going to make you better. I think it's just being well-rounded, and everything takes time. I mean, you can't eat kale salads with quinoa for a week and be like, oh, I'm better now. But it's just about doing it consistently and doing it over a period of time, and it takes time to reset. Bacteria are constantly growing in your gut all the time, and so if you kind of slowly change your diet over time, then they'll start to adjust to that as well. But yeah, it'd probably be months at a time before it changes.
So what's the hardest part about med school so far?
Well, the single, oh man. I think it's just the giving up on other stuff outside of just studying. Because that's pretty much your life, is studying all the time. Like I don't go out on the weekends very often, and I lost a lot of friends moving. That was part of it, but that's just inherent to moving. That's not to med school. But yeah, I mean, like for an example of when I was studying for my STEP, which is kind of like the entrance exam almost to residency. If we have like three tests, but one that's the big one for residency. From December till June, I was getting up at 4 a.m. every day, and I was going every day,
Holy.
and it was just studying. Yeah, so it's what I had to do to get the score that I needed to do what I want to do.
Wow. That's
And that
mad
was just something
discipline.
that like most people wouldn't want to
Yeah, that makes sense. I barely want to wake up at 5 when I have to.
do. Yeah. So, I mean, you get used to it. It's different. If you loved coding and you had to get up a little bit earlier to be the best you could be, I bet you would do it. If you had an exam in 6 months and said, if you don't do this, you don't get to do what you want for the rest of your life, it might change it. But,
Gosh, man. So how many hours do you think you're studying?
I mean, now I'm out on clinical, so I'm actually at like work at like an office with physicians. So anywhere from like 8 to 10 hours of that, and then I'll try to at least sneak in 3 or 4 more hours of studying a day on top of that. But yeah, during school it was probably, for the most part, it was probably like 5 till 7 or 5 till 8 every day, 5 in the morning till
Wow.
8.
What do you do to relax?
What is that? I don't know. I mean, so you have to find your balance. Everyone has to find their balance. I would take days, and I'd go to the gym at like 4 times a week at least. I tried to like kind of keep up with that for the most part. First year, I kind of did it like 5 to 6 times a week. I stayed with it very well. Second year, a little bit less, but I tried to go a couple times a week. My girlfriend and I would go at least every other Friday. We'd do a date night. So we'd say like, at 5 p.m. we're done, and then we're just gonna go do whatever we want for a couple hours, and then call it tonight. Things like that just kind of keep you sane, keep you happy. I'd play basketball a couple times a month with some guys on campus, or just occasionally throw in some other stuff to just, when you're done, you know it, and you have to kind of keep your mind right. And days where I was like, I need to study till 8 tonight, and I've read the same page 45 times in 10 minutes, and I haven't picked up a single word. I was like, well, I'm done tonight. I'm going to go home. You know, you just have to know yourself. So I think that's
there.
it.
So would you say being in a relationship and being that busy, do you feel like having that support system helps you out quite a bit? Because I know a lot of people that can it can go either way, where people are like, I don't have enough time for a relationship, or do you think it makes it easier because you have that person there for you?
If you have a supportive person who understands what you're doing, very helpful. But you can be in a, I think you can be in relationships where that's not the case. My girlfriend was very supportive. She's also in medicine, so she gets it. She's doing what I'm doing. She understood that, you know, like if I was saying like I have to study 14 hours today, and like I meant it, it was like, okay, well, you know, let's do that, and we can go to the library together, or we can study the coffee shop together, or something. Kind of just be around each other, and that's it's going to be better than nothing. And you know, there's part of that. But there's definitely people who have relationships that I'd say weren't probably beneficial in med school.
Yeah, that makes sense. 'Cause you know, even for myself, I work a lot, and just because, you know, I go to work and then I work on my own things after. And generally, if I'm dating someone and their ambition doesn't seem to match mine, I could tell them all the reasons in the world of why I can't spend that time together, where I need to do this, and they're like, "Well, you've already done that." They think it's an excuse almost, and I'm like, "No." So that I could definitely see that side too, but yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And as to, you have to like work together, right? Because I mean, there's probably days where I could have gone 4 or 5 days of studying straight that she couldn't have, and she needed a day off, and you kind of compromise and say, okay, like how about we take a half day this day, and we'll both reset, and then we'll move forward, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to compromise as well. I think that's a big thing. But yeah, I think like you said, ambition matching has to be kind of there, or else it's going to be hard.
What do you As far as you are, what do you see in people that stick with the program and go throughout it, or people that you just can tell they're done?
I think it's you actually have to really want medicine. There's not many fields that require you to study as much as we do. And work as hard as you do. I mean, like PhD stuff like that, they understand as well. Just because it's like you have to study all the time. When you're going to be doing stuff that has such delayed gratification, I mean, I have after high school, I have 4 years of undergrad, I have 4 years of med school, and then I have 5 years of residency. If I do what I want to do, I mean, that's what 13 years of school after high school that I got to go to before I become what I want to become. You have to want it. And there's people who either go into it because they think they're going to make a ton of money and have a cush lifestyle, or because their parents wanted them to, or, you know, whatever reason that might be, they go into it for the wrong reason. And they are usually the ones who either struggle, hate it, or bail. And I think that's probably it. It's mostly just the desire.
So what would you say to a fresh college student that says, "Hey, I want to be pre-med," maybe because they want to make money, or their reason is only just want to help people. They don't have that for sure. What advice would you give them?
I think there's a lot of things you can do. I would definitely make sure you like school, because that's going to be a big thing. That's going to be your life. You have to learn all the time. Go shadow physicians and like actually follow physicians in the real world and follow multiple. You don't want to go shadow a physician who's like, this is the greatest profession ever, and they're just super into it, and you might not be on the same level as them. Or you don't want to go shadow a physician who's like, I hate medicine. It's the worst thing ever. Don't ever go into it. And they just also hate their lives or something. You know, like there's other aspects to go into it. So you should definitely follow physicians, a couple of them, kind of see, is this what I want to do in life? Make sure you love your school, make sure you love constantly learning. If you can't, if I say studying for like 12 to 14 hours a day makes you say no way, and you know, HQ double hockey sticks, then well, not before you, because there's just times where you're going to have to do stuff like that. You just have to know that, you know, it's going to be long hours. You're going to have really delayed gratification. But if you really enjoy it, it's going to be worth every minute.
That makes sense. So what are some habits that you have right now that you have to do daily? Because, you know, I feel like you have to have, I mean, studying habits obviously and stuff, but do you have like a morning routine? What do you do?
Yeah, actually, I kind of settled into one finally this year. I get up at 4:30 every day. I put on a cup of coffee, you know, shower, get ready, come out, get my cup of coffee. I do, it depends on what rotation I'm on, hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours of work, before work, go to work. And then I come back and, well, either come back or I do a gym session. So I'll bring my gym clothes and, you know, in my truck. And then I try to do that, like, at least, like I said, 4 times a week again. Either that, I come home, I'll take like 30 minutes off, whatever that is, either eating food or kind of like watching a TV show or something for 30 minutes. And then I try to do another hour or two of work and then kind of wind down for the night. Wow, and that's kind of how I've been doing it.
So do you plan on adding any new habits or doing anything, like a New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not a big New Year's resolution person because I feel like that is a way to delay, you know, making yourself better by January.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you should always be making resolutions. You should always be tinkering things. Before, I was trying to just like sleep until right before work, and then I would just study after work, and that didn't really seem to work for me, so I kind of adjusted it. I want to get back to exercising. I want to eat out less. That was a big thing because I think that's, again, it's a big part of feeling better is if you're eating well and, you know, eating appropriately, you feel a little bit better. It's easy to get into like eating out. Even if you're like, oh, I'm going to go to the store and get a salad, you know, you're still eating out and doing different stuff. So you can easily talk yourself into it. I think probably the biggest thing is getting to the gym a little bit more and eating a little bit better and just kind of solidifying all that.
Yeah, it's crazy how much better you feel when you're just healthy, you know? When I go consistently eating, like just meal prepping, and I don't do anything too crazy, but when I do that for a while, and if I eat pizza, I could feel it the next day. I'm like, frick, I'm a little groggy right now, you know?
I feel the same.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. About ketones and why the keto diet is... And obviously, you know, everybody's different, but why you don't want to have too much ketones, really?
It's just like, I think who made it knew their biochemistry, but I don't think it applies to necessarily the whole body. So a ketone is essentially a fat that our body makes when we're starving. That's kind of what happens. So, you know, you use your carbs, fats, and your proteins to make energy. Mm-hmm. And further down the line, your body can make ketones when it's in a starvation state. And so that's a way to feed your brain and feed your body when you haven't had food in a while. And that process takes some energy to make energy, you know? And so the reasoning behind the keto, as I understand it, is that if you're doing something that requires energy to make energy, then you're not eating as much, or your calories are less than, you know? So they're saying, like, if it takes 100 calories to make 1,000, then you're only taking in 900. It's like they're trying to say that you're using calories to make calories almost. I just don't think that's true.
I think
you could also just eat 1,800 calories instead of 2,000 calories. I don't think there's anything special about the keto diet. And ketones can be hard on your kidneys and your liver and things like that if you're constantly in it. Your body's not supposed to be starving. That, like, the you know, they're saying, like, we want you to put it in the starving state so you do these things, but it's a starving state for a reason. That's not where our body wants to be. Yeah. It's not where it will be. So I don't know of the side effects, but I don't see there being zero side effects to putting your body in a constant starving state.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do you, what about intermittent fasting? Do you think that goes with that, or it's more just calorie restriction?
Yeah, I mean, so there's been like a lot of new, that's kind of like the big thing right now is the intermittent fasting. There's been a lot of new research kind of being out there, and there's been some stuff that's been shown to be good and bad. It's shown to be effective in people who can do it correctly. There's a lot of different intermittent fasting. That's not one thing. There was a study that showed that if obese people go on intermittent fasting and they say on their day that they're eating, they can only eat from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. or they can eat from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. The group that could eat for a shorter period of time had better glucose levels. And that's just because they're thinking maybe if you slot it into a certain amount of time, that might be better. People can also be really effective with it because on their cheat days or their other day that they're not fasting, they don't go way overboard. They just eat till their body tells them to stop, which is what we're for the most part supposed to do, is kind of when your body says you're good, you're supposed to stop. But then you could have people who could binge eat like 8,000
That's
calories.
me, dude. I can put down food, man.
That can be a thing. I think it's just kind of knowing you. And I think intermittent fasting is showing that maybe timing is important and not even necessarily like the fasting part.
I actually just read about something called time-restricted eating, which is different because intermittent fasting, a lot of people say you could have coffee. You could have coffee because it doesn't have calories. You could have this, and you're still fasting. But what it was saying is, as soon as you eat or as soon as you see sunlight, these enzymes kick in and basically say whether you're in that mode, right? But if you drink coffee as caffeine, your body has to break it down, right? So you're not actually fasting if you do that. So I always hear these different things of, oh, you could do this, but it's never by people who understand the science behind it at all, you know. So yeah, it was really interesting that you said that it's more of a time window type thing, you know.
And that's kind of just my personal opinion. And like you said, the people that don't understand the science, I think a lot of science doesn't understand the science of nutrition because there's so many variables, right? Like there's not really an easy way or a good way to make a real scientific study for nutrition, right? So, it's like, oh man, the Mediterranean was a huge thing. Like it's because they eat a ton of fish and they love olive oil. And it very well could be, maybe because the omegas and the better fats that are in those things. But also, a lot of the people in the Mediterranean walk a lot and eat less just because that's kind of like what they do there. They don't eat like we do as an American, right? Like here, it's like if you can eat a whole pizza by yourself, you get a high five. There, they'd probably be like, who the heck's this guy? So there's just so many factors going into it. They smoke like chimneys, which helps people like appetite suppress. So there's so many factors that go into it. And you can't just say, fish is the one that's causing you to be healthy. The olive oil is causing you to be healthy. You can't point out things that are making you unhealthy for sure every single time. Some stuff like trans fats are horrendous, and we know that. But there's just it. I think the confounding variables makes science and nutrition very hard to like pinpoint anything. It's like this is what makes this better.
Another thing I was thinking about, because you're in the medical side of the world, I'm in the coding side of the world. I read a lot about AI and do a little bit of machine learning, and a lot of things are starting to go into the medical field and everything like that. So are you do you learn about a little bit of AI and the way it's kind of being used right now in medicine?
Not really. I mean, I've heard whispers. I think it's GE or IBM, one of them is programming essentially radiologists. It's kind of
Oh.
like AI that can read X-rays and MRIs and things at like the same kind of efficacy as a physician. I've heard that's something that they're trying to put down the pipeline. But for the most part, I'm not super aware with it or with that stuff at all.
I read it mostly for surgery and not to replace doctors, but kind of work more hand in hand. Like the precision is really high on some things, like certain diagnostics, I think with skin cancer, where it'd be like 99% versus a physician, which would be just like under it, but together it's like almost 100% with a physician and AI. That's one thing I wonder about too, is if in the future it's going to be like there's going to be a little part of that in med school, or maybe not med school, but even more the specialty, like when you get into like a program or whatever, like you were saying, that's kind of one thing I was thinking about all the time. So, because you're studying a lot, I do see you take some trips, over countries and stuff. But yeah, what do you so what's your experience with traveling, man? Like, because you see a different culture and you see all the healthy sides and stuff, but I mean just everything really.
I mean, I think traveling is super important, and I bet you can also kind of talk on that as well. I've seen you've done it as well. I've done traveling for fun. I've done traveling for school. I did a couple of mission trips to Nicaragua with my medical program in undergrad.
Oh, cool.
And I've just done fun traveling, right? I've been to a lot of different places. And I think traveling is really important, not to be the person who goes to Nicaragua so they can post on their Instagram about how they help the less fortunate, so they can get all the likes. But just to like see that life's different. So you can go to Nicaragua and see like, man, the average physician here makes like $5,000 to $10,000 a year.
No
That's
way.
extremely low, but
Wow.
they also live so much happier than we would if we made that kind of money, right? Like, you couldn't live like that in America. One, that doesn't work. But as a relative across, if we made a lot less money than we did, no one going to medicine here, right? Like,
Oh.
so many people are into it for the money, and you just see that people do their lives a lot different than we do, and you can learn from it. Like, they sit outside their house for 2 hours a day and just and hang out with their family and just talk and enjoy where they live. That's something you can take home with you, right? Or
Oh
stuff
yeah.
like that. It's awesome.
More connected, it seems like them. It's yeah, man. That's really cool. See, I haven't been out of the country yet, besides to Canada, and that's my goal this year. Is I have a wedding in Albania to go to, and then I'm just gonna hit up Greece and Italy, and
Oh,
but
wedding. Nice. That'll be fun. I heard Albania is gorgeous.
yeah. I mean, it's pretty much Greece, but cheaper. Like,
Little
yeah, but for a while, I think my why behind college and everything was just to travel, just because I never grew up traveling. So this past year, I just went everywhere I wanted to go. I went to New York, I went to LA, Nashville, just all these different places. And when I really got to experience it, it's just this, because I travel alone most of the time too, which I don't know if you've ever traveled alone, but it kind of makes you understand how to work out kinks in your own life. If something goes wrong, you just have to figure it out yourself. And seeing the different cultures, just that, I think that opens up more perspective to the world than anything else, you know?
I agree. I think exposure is the best way to understand people, or understand that people are different, right? Like,
Yeah.
you don't have to necessarily. I think people feel like they have to, like the millennial misperception of like, we're like, oh, like I identify with all cultures because I've seen them once. And that's not necessarily true. And that's not how you should see it. I mean, you just need to go see places so you can understand that they think differently for a reason, right? It's not like because they all, everyone hates each other, or because they're dumb, or it's, you just go there and be like, oh man, they do this differently, and that's just how they do it, and they seem very happy doing it, and I can accept that.
Yeah, I mean, even cultures, state to state are so different, you know. Like,
Exactly.
moving out of Utah my first time, I was like, oh, I can't just keep my doors unlocked.
I'm
Okay, all right.
not gonna
Oh.
get sold by guys in the white long sleeves and a tie every corner I go to, or
Yeah. Not gonna walk down the wrong neighborhood, or just
yeah, it's just different.
it's pretty wild. But it's funny too, because man, you know, with this kind of world we're kind of growing up in, and where everyone's addicted to social media and everything, and I mean, I use it for social or business purposes, but it and I actually have a bot do automating my whole thing, so I don't really have to go on it most of the time unless I post, you know. But traveling now, almost all the time I see is people really just care about getting that photo and don't experience things.
I think that is the big. I love social media, and some ways it's a nice way to share that kind of where you are in your life and what you're doing with people you wouldn't have normally done it. But it has just, yeah, like you said, like when people are just taking pictures so they can say I went here and show everybody they went here, but then they don't even enjoy it. I was actually just in Costa Rica a couple weeks ago, and I actually sent a Snapchat to some friends because I was kind of teasing this Instagram boyfriend, right? So he was just taking pictures of his girlfriend from all these different angles, and then she got up, and then they switched, and then she was the Instagram girlfriend, so she was doing the exact same thing, and they did this for probably like 20 minutes, just trying to get the perfect picture, and then they got up and left,
No way.
and then that was it. They were at one of the most gorgeous places I've ever been in my life. It was this, like we're in the mountains, you have this infinity pool going off the top of this mountain, and you're looking over the ocean. And I was like, this is the coolest like place I've ever been. And I was just sitting there in awe. They walked up, took photos for 20 minutes, and then went back to the room. And I was like, that is exactly what's wrong with, social media and all these things. They just wanted those likes to see all these people they don't even talk to comment on how beautiful this place was they were at.
They really, and you know what's addiction too? Because they honestly, they enjoy the likes more than they do the actual vacation themselves. That's almost the vacation, is the likes and everything. And it's so weird, because you can talk to people like that and they're like, oh, I've done this, but I feel like they can never tell you how it feels, you know?
Yeah, they need to explain it for real, like how what that experience was to them.
Yeah, because they never really got to experience it in a way.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And it seems like when people start doing that, we start living at this shallow level where we're super wide, like the Platte River, right? Where we're it's super long, but like an inch deep or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone just kind of feels this desire for something more and then don't really know what they're missing in life. And it's like, just put your phone down, have a real conversation.
Life's just right in front of you for the most part. Like, I almost have a rule, and I just take a picture of where I'm at. I'll take my phone out, take the picture, and if I it's 30 seconds max. Like, that's the longest I take to take a picture of anything that I'm at. And I'll take like a max 3 photos, you know, of anywhere I'm at. And that's just to like archive it for later so that, you know, you can go back. And I'm fine with taking pictures for remembering, but I want to put it away and I just want to enjoy where I'm at and being in that moment. And, you know, like, I was on vacation with my parents and I don't see them as much anymore. And I just wanted to be able to hang out with them and talk to them about whatever that was. Just hang out, even if it's just sit there and look at this place that I've never seen and I might not ever see again, and just enjoy it.
I love that. You really kind of understand the how precious moments are too, you know, in a way, from talking to you, because that goes hand in hand. Like what you said, you don't really get to see your parents, where that's all you want to do is spend time with them, you know. It's good to have like a photo or video to go back to and relive that memory, because it's hard to remember everything you do. Sometimes I'll do little videos and stuff and kind of make my own little home videos just so I can remember things. I'm like, wait, I did that. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I did that, you know.
Yeah.
But like, if you ever go to a concert now, sometimes I swear people are holding up their phone 90% of the time.
They don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, they're like, I gotta get the coolest part on my phone instead of seeing it. And I'm like, no, what? No, you want to see the coolest part.
You can listen to on Spotify. Like,
yeah.
We don't care.
No one cares that you're at a concert, to be honest. They're like, oh, whatever, who cares? Like, they're not going to watch it. They're like, oh, no one cares.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't really care.
Crappy quality video of you, maybe front row, best choice. But dude, everyone's got YouTube. Everyone can see that. it's kind of like getting that perfect shot for Instagram, right? Going back to the Instagram, a girlfriend, boyfriend. Here's the thing: is there's so many photos like that that it's, you know how people say, there's like people who are addicted to porn and then they can't have sex after because their brain's just so used to it. It's legit that way with social media, where travel photos, no one really cares if you're in Bali on a swing because they've seen that picture a million times, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think also just like, I think people get so obsessed with it and like taking that great photo of those places that they lose like the enjoyment of like the vacation. They're like, oh, I saw, you know, so-and-so took this picture and it was absolutely gorgeous in Bali. And then they go there and they're like, I have to recreate that photo or whatever. And it's like, no, just be there. Like, you're now at that place, like, enjoy it. And it doesn't even have to be like Bali or it's like some crazy place. Like, if you're in Canada or like Vancouver, like, there's beautiful places all over the world, like Utah. If you're like in the Salt Lake Valley, I can just look up at the mountains right outside of me and I'm like, this is gorgeous, and I can just enjoy that. Like,
oh yeah,
there's things like that everywhere.
And it's so weird too, the human brain, man, because it has all these cool capabilities and everything, and but
yeah,
then regresses. And then we get stuck in this little thing. But even like for me, my job, one of my parts making software is how to get people addicted. Like, how do I make them want this notification and keep checking? So I'm kind of part of the problem. But
they're salesmen for everything.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's just so weird that our brains have made, you know, Shakespeare. They made medicine. Fake butts,
computer.
Instagram.
Fake butts. I mean, obviously.
But it's so weird how it could just go either way, you know, have this such a powerful thing. We just care about getting our biceps bigger, you know.
That false sense of belonging, I think, is a big thing for people. If I get a million likes on this photo, it means everyone loves me, and it's like no one knows anything about you. It's just your photo is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's weird how people will also think of like alcohol addiction, everything like that, but they don't really think social media addiction is the thing. Like, they're like, I don't have a problem, I could stop any time.
But they're on their phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's It's a thing. Like, I mean, if people, I think people would be disgusted almost if they saw how much time they were actually spending on their phones on a daily basis. I think people would probably be very surprised if they saw, like, hey, you spend like 6 hours on your phone a day. They'd be like, no, I don't. And if you actually spend it out, I bet so many people do.
Oh yeah, dude. Do you ever get, have you ever downloaded one of those apps that tells you the time you've spent on your phone or how many times you've checked your? So for me,
That's a good idea.
dude, I don't even text, man. You know, like I just don't like texting. So I was like, oh, there's no way it's gonna be that long. I'm like, well, first time download, like 2 hours. I was like, what? Because I'll be on YouTube and I just get carried away. Like, what is going on? You know, go
It's
down that
easy.
rabbit hole of. What
For
celebrity just got fat, you know?
no reason. Like, I don't honestly care, but I can still get sucked into it. I'm like, I don't care what Kim K looks like today, but then you'd be like, I wonder how stupid this is. And then you spend 30 minutes on it, and you're like, I was part of the
You just get Medusa, man, turning
thing.
stone, and you're just staring.
Yeah, it zombies you real quick, and
Yeah.